Thank you so much. This morning we're reading in Acts, and chapter 10 is what I call a crescendo moment in the history of the world. Until Acts chapter 10, the kingdom of God and God's interaction with man had been largely focused on the Israelite people, the Jewish nation. And for centuries and centuries, God had poured his focus on this nation with the hope that many nations, all nations, would come to know him. And even as Acts began, the first 10 chapters, it's all about the birth of the Jewish church in Jerusalem and how the nation of Israel's people found Christ through the apostles and through the growth and the witness that they experienced. And yet, we always knew that there was going to be this explosion moment, this moment of breakout, when God's love and his kingdom would go beyond a limited space and begin to go into unlimited territory. And so we have this fascinating description, and I purposefully got you only to read to where the story is about to get interesting. We stop there. We will read on more. But I want to remind you, so you have this God-fearing man, Cornelius, from the Italian regiment. He's a Gentile. He's not Jewish in any way. But he's God-fearing. He loves the poor. He's giving to the poor. He's a kind-hearted man. And God has seen him. And God sends him a vision and says, I want you to send for a man called Peter who lives in Caesarea, and he's going to tell you more about what you need to know about me. And I want to tell you that one of the wonderful things about this passage as a missionary and as a church planter is we have seen over and over again how there are Corneliuses all over the world. Among the most extreme Muslim peoples, among the most extreme Hindus and Buddhists and animists in far off places in African rural areas, there are Corneliuses waiting, longing to know Jesus. And so this Cornelius gets this beautiful vision. He sends men to go and get Peter. But God also knows that Peter is a problem child, because Peter's not quite ready yet to go to Cornelius, and we'll get into the reasons why. So while the men are coming towards Peter's house, Peter has this vision, and God sends down this blanket of animals and reptiles and birds and says, kill and eat. And Peter's really hungry. And Peter says, no. Because in the Old Testament, reptiles were considered unclean. They were untouchable and non-edible. And so Peter says, no, I have never done something impure and unclean, so I'm not going to eat these things. And so the angel who's talking to him says, but do not call unclean what God has made clean. And Peter wakes up and trying to figure out what this is all about. And then these three men come to the door. And just in case he didn't quite get it, the angel says to him, and by the way, you better accept these men who have come to your door and invite them in. And so these men arrive, and Peter invites them in, and they explain about Cornelius. And so the next day, Peter leaves with some other believers and they go to Cornelius's house. And Cornelius has gathered his friends and family relatives and is waiting for Peter. And that's about as far as we read. Now the next section is quite an unbelievable interaction that happens between Peter and Cornelius. And unfortunately, it also reveals a little bit about what is in our hearts and about our attitudes. And so, would you mind getting your Bibles or whatever you got in front of you? We're going to read a little bit further, and I call it the three amazing or astonishing, three astonishing statements which Peter makes in this whole interaction. And we're going to pick it up from verse 28. We're in John chapter 10, and we've read up to 24, and now we're going to just jump to verse 28. Acts chapter 10, did I say Pete? John, sorry. Acts chapter 10 and verse 28. Now, before we read, I just want to remind you, can you tell me who is this Peter that we are talking about? Who is Peter? Does he know Jesus? How well does he know Jesus? He was one of the three considered the closest to Jesus. How much does he know about what Jesus' desire for the world is? Is he in the dark about what God's intentions are for the world? Is he in the dark about that? Okay, let's not forget, this is the Peter who Jesus would have looked him in the eye and said, go into all the world, to every single nation, go to them and make disciples of them. Okay? This is Peter who's been with Jesus for 3 years, every single day. And then he comes up with this first and mind-blowing statement in verse 28. Peter says to them, how incredible it is that you have invited me to your home. I am so thrilled to be here because Jesus wants me to come and make disciples of you. Is that what he said? Can you believe it? Here is Peter saying, and I've lost my place now. He says to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile. But God, just yesterday, showed me that I should not call you impure and unclean. Because actually, I think you guys are impure and unclean. But you're very lucky because yesterday, God showed me that you're not impure and unclean. And so, I came when you called me. Can you believe that if God had not shown Peter this vision, he would have actually said, no, I'm not going to Cornelius. I'm not entering a Gentile home. It's impure and unclean. What part of go into all the nations and make disciples of all nations? What part of that is, are you not getting, Peter? Which part is, are you mixing up? And so, I'm going to talk about this a bit later, but we have this incredible power that we are all born with. It's called a discrimination. It's called a cultural bias. It's called a chronic darkness and cloud, which surrounds you and makes you feel like only those who are like you, who look like you, who talk like you, who smell like you, are okay. That is the chronic state of us as human beings. And to get free of that often takes a secondary miraculous vision from God to free you from your discrimination. And unfortunately, the biggest impact that our cultural cloud and chains has is to restrict our ability to do mission for God. It restricts our ability to reach out to those that are near, but we don't like them. And we don't consider them pure or clean or approachable. And so Peter goes through his first incredible statement. Are you ready for the second one? It doesn't get better. So in verse 29 he says, "So I was sent for and I came without raising any objections. So now I'm ready for to tell you everything about this incredible kingdom that I've learned from. I'm now going to unpack to you. You see, because I know what to say to you, I'm going to give you the incredible good news of Jesus." Is that what he says? "May I ask you, why did you send for me?" This is Peter, one of the main leaders of the church in Jerusalem. The very person Jesus spoke to so many times. He said, "Peter, on this rock, I'm going to build my church." What a rock! "Why did you send for me?" And I'm going to hint to you that sometimes in your everyday life, you have got people that are standing in front of you, longing and wishing that you would be telling them the life, the story, the magnificent treasure that you hold, how they wish that you would be telling them that. But you don't. What have I got to give? What could I possibly say? Says Peter. "Why have you asked me to be here?" Cornelius, what an incredible man. In verse 30, after being told, "Well, I'm not supposed to be here, you impure, you unclean, I'm not supposed to be here, and I don't even know why you've called me here. What have I got to say to you?" After all of that, Cornelius, with great grace, says, "Well, 3 days ago I was in my house praying," this is verse 30, "and a man in shining clothes stood before me." And I'll just summarize. "And this angel said, call Peter, and so that's why I've called you. And now we're here in the presence of God. And Cornelius reminds Peter in verse 33, we're now in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Isn't that interesting? Cornelius knew that Peter had been commanded by God to go and tell others about him. Peter didn't know that. And Cornelius says, we're here. You tell us what God has commanded you to tell us. We are here to hear. And so Peter then begins to tell them. Peter then makes his third and final chronic statement. Again, a mind-blowing statement. Peter says, I now realize, at that moment, he realizes. He has walked with Jesus for 3 years. He has seen the resurrection of Christ. He's seen the birth of the church in Jerusalem. He is a theological genius, Peter. He knows everything about the kingdom of God. And he says, only at this moment now do I realize that God does not show favoritism. But accepts every nation. But accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. And then he begins to give them the gospel. I now realize that God does not show favoritism. Just 2 weeks ago, I was in the inlands, the inner lands of Sierra Leone. It's the furthest place from Cape Town you can get on the map to Africa. So you got to go up and as far until you can't go anymore, and there's only ocean on that exact point there, is Sierra Leone. And we went 4 hours inland to a city called Bo, which has mosques on every single corner. But it's also got Francis Jaba, who's our church planter partner there. And he went there 4 years ago. He's now got 15 church planters and 15 small churches planted in that area. It is in jungles. It takes a 4x4 to get there. I didn't even think God knew that place existed. But there God is doing the most incredible things. Because he has no favorite. He is aware of every person on this earth. And he is going to pursue and find them and love them and seek them and find them. Because he is a God who has no favorites. Every nation, every tribe, and every tongue is on his heart, and he's passionate about them. And this is the great beauty of the God we serve. Now, I don't know where we are in our slides. Have we even got slides up at the moment? No. Have we just kind of left those out? We can just go through. I'm pretty much done with the first section. I want to go to the second section, and I want to do a bit of application to us. Those three amazing statements by Peter. I call these the hindrances to sharing the good news that are going to be in your hearts and in my heart. These are strongholds, they're barriers, they're hindrances that are holding us back. And the first one I'm going to call our cultural barriers. It was the same thing that blinded Peter from years and years of the most magnificent teaching. Pastor John Broom can teach to you for 20 years, and you can still sit here and be totally blinded by your own cultural barriers. And if we can make it very practical, in your daily life, you may have people from a different color of skin, a different language, a different religion, a different social standing. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood who is just a really bad person, a wicked person, a broken person. And you spending all your days avoiding those people. You spending all your days giving reasons why, how can I speak to a Somalian person? How can I speak to this person who I know is a drug dealer in our community? And here's the shocking reality. Those are the people that God wants you to speak to. Those are the people. If God brings people across your path, you need to know that they're in your circle of Him longing that you would be the messenger that Peter so reluctantly was to their lives. So there's these cultural barriers. The second one, you can give me the second one, Karen, thank you so much, is our lack of mission awareness. Peter stood there saying, okay, so I'm here now. Why have you sent for me? You're there in your retirement community. There's somebody sitting there pouring out their story to you, and you're thinking, why are they telling me all this stuff? Do you know why they're telling you that? They are desperate for a story of hope. They are desperate to know what is the treasure you have that can give them an answer to their own crisis. Why is that person who is your garden helper that comes once a week, why are they telling you the story of crisis? We have an opportunity, and we are on mission. We are all on mission. Peter didn't realize that, and neither do we, but we are all on mission at your school. Wherever you are on mission. And you have a treasure of Jesus to give to others. And so be ready to do that. The last one I had was that we don't care about those that we don't know. We only really care. You see, Peter had an incredible care for the Jewish people around him. He had a great care for those who knew. But those we don't know, our care is absent. And that's where the miracle of the Holy Spirit has to come in. He has to fill us with a love, a supernatural love, that enables us to be what we are not, which is people who care and love those who are strange, those who are different, those who are not in our lives. To fill us with a supernatural care that can enable us, like Peter, to go and speak with Cornelius. What was the last point I had there? There's so many passages in the New Testament, and one of them talks about we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors. An ambassador, when he arrives in a country, an ambassador doesn't wonder what should he say about his country. When he arrives in the new place and people invite him and say, "Oh, Mr. Ambassador from Ireland, what would you like to tell us?" I'm not sure. Why have you called me here? Would he say that? You are all ambassadors, and you know the treasure that you have. You know this beautiful Jesus and the kingdom of God. You know the message of salvation. And so let's live that out among those he's put in your life. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for your glorious and wonderful love for every nation on earth. I thank you that you have not a single favorite. You're not like the Hindu God, which would say, "Those in India, those are mine." Or the Muslims and the Muslim God. So many Muslims have said to me, "But don't tell us about Jesus. He's your God. Muhammad and Allah is our God." You're not that kind of God. You're a God who says, "I don't care if you're Muslim, I don't care if you're Hindu, I don't care where or who you are, I'm your God. And I've got a message for you, and I love you." And that's why we are willing to declare you and only you as the Almighty God. Because there is not a nation or a person on earth that you do not love and care for. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.